BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy. Welcome, welcome one and all to BRB UK, episode 414. The most maligned of web error codes. I don't even know what 414 is. It probably is even error code. I'm just making crap up because I'm vamping for time. Because we're down a man. We're down a Timothy. That's right. That was a moment of silence. Something you rarely get when Tim's on the show. But I am still joined by Coldman. Hello, Coldman.
Hi.
And it's lockdown to Electric Boogaloo.
Can we have lockdown to cruise control?
All right, okay.
We always go for Electric Boogaloo.
I do. Electric Boogaloo's the best. It's the best. How are you doing? How's lockdown 2 treating you?
Great, yeah. It's brilliant.
It's imperceptibly Love different it. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm just working from home. I mean, as my girlfriend's pointed out, she's a teacher, so lockdown does not affect her because you know that coronavirus, the COVID-19, you know it can't penetrate.
Never heard of it.
Can't penetrate school walls at all. They
can't
just come
it?
In.
Also,
no, it's like, oh, there's some kids and teachers. I'm going to get some. I can't get past the school walls.
Well, I just assumed it's the protective layer of slime that all children produce that kind of runs behind them.
Also true.
Also, coronavirus has trouble getting its little spike proteins in there. And children are, according to the best scientific advice, completely antiviral. As we all know, kids never get viruses.
They could not be never. Super spreaders at all.
No.
But the thing is, as she reminded me during the first lockdown, the roads were pretty much empty and you'd see one or two cars and that was all great. So this morning she thought, oh, my journey to school will be a lot easier now it's lockdown too. No, more cars.
Rubbish today. I was actually up your neck of the woods trying to get my, here's a fun bit of middle-aged conversation, kid. Strap in. Here we go. I went to Specsavers in Uxbridge.
What?
It was mighty fine. Two, I've been having some problems hearing out of my left ear.
Oh dear.
And they were unable to sort it. I slightly blocked their ear vacuuming machine.
So?
Because I am the world's most disgusting man.
I'm assuming this means that the next generation of 3D HD audio will not be your thing.
I'm good on this side.
Yeah. You can hear things come in one side, just not the other.
No, nothing. No. You can sneak up on me now. It's great.
For who the bell tolls, the icy hand of death comes to us all.
It certainly does. It's doing its best, bless it. You know, I've started just forgetting. I now walk into rooms, sometimes forget what I was doing in there. I was like, well, what are we coming to this room?
I've been doing that my whole life, mate.
God damn it. God damn it. Anyway.
Should we talk about some games?
Oh, I suppose we should, really, because it's the eve of many exciting things. Well, not the eve, the week before. There's next-gen consoles next week.
Is that next week and the week after?
Or is it the week after?
I think it's the week after. It's the 19th of November, I think.
For the 18th? PS5-age.
Yeah.
When's... I thought Xboxes were a little before.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't pay attention.
But most importantly, twas the couple of days before the next Destiny 2 expansion, so I am going to be unstoppable. It's the one time a year I'm allowed to talk about Destiny. I've had don't you start.
Well,
I've had...
I was just going to say, you say that you're going to be unstoppable. I thought that you've misspoke and you're actually going to be insufferable.
No, I'm not Tim.
Is there a story in Destiny yet, Dan?
He's like, oh, I'm so bored.
Why is he zippy?
I don't know. He's always struck me more as a kind of a George, actually.
Basically.
Yeah. I have had independently verified that people are occasionally interested when I talk about Destiny. So I think it's fair enough. It's fair dues. It's fair dinkum that I get to talk about Destiny next week.
Fair enough.
It's out. It shall be out and about. But what have we played this week, Coleman? I think we've both played the same thing.
Yeah, which is topic of, let's say, topic of intrigue because it's a game I've been looking forward to, but also a game that is from a studio, well, not studio, publisher that everyone hates at the moment because Watchdog allegedly have been covering up and hiding wrongdoings within their company, which is horrible. And I don't agree with at all. That said, I really wanted to play Watch Dogs Legion and have had my pre-order for quite some time. So
yeah, as London dwellers, well, I'm an ex-London dweller. Watch Dogs Legion, I think, kind of has piqued my interest in a particular way, just because it's always cool when you get to explore an open world that is based on real life locations. A bit like the Getaway back in the day, if you remember that.
Yeah,
in London. You know, Assassin's Creed Syndicate was really cool to trundle about Victorian London. And Watch Dogs Legion is set in a near future London where everything is smushed together. It was brilliant. I could get from Euston to Camden Town in 30 seconds. It was great. Never been able to do that.
Yeah, this specifically, this is meant to be set between 2020 and 2030, somewhere in between. It doesn't really specify. But this is the third Watch Dogs game. They've taken on from Watch Dogs 2. It is a canonical sequel. It's an interesting one because, as you say, the London aspect, the story aspect, like some of the stuff does carry over. DedSec is the main hacker group again, but this time it's... Like, the first time DedSec was this underground hacker group. Second time, it was underground hacker group for millennials, taking down, like, Google-type systems. And then this one, they're basically a terrorist group, but fighting on the side of good as best they can.
Are they? Is one man's terrorist, another one's freedom fighter?
Exactly. But yeah, freedom fighters, the CTOS group from the, I don't know if they were in the first game, but they were definitely definitely a big part of the second game. They carry over.
Well, CTOS is the city operating system, for one by the way of putting it, is how they do it. So that's the thing that runs the city that you hack. And through hacking CTOS, you can get fun control of things such as traffic bollards that go up and down.
It does.
My power is unstoppable.
It does seem to be there's less to do with your hacking stuff. Like, it's a mishmash of one and two's powers, let's say, but the more focus is that you can recruit any NPC in within the game, unless it's like a story bad guy or something, I guess. But there seemed to be more stuff you could do in one with regards to, like, you could walk past someone and just take their bank account details and steal their funds to get your cash up, that sort of thing. And then the second one, that's where they started introducing more drone stuff and spider bot and what have you. And then this time it's kind of they combine those two, but haven't really, that as far as I'm aware, built on that at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because on the face of it, saying, you know, you can recruit anybody and you can be anybody in the city of the whole city of London sounds quite cool, and like all these different people are going to have different skills and abilities, and you know, you can they'll be kind of unique to you and your, well, Legion. They are the Legion.
We are Legion.
The title of the game. We are Legion. But one of the challenges with that is that there is a high degree of variability in the characters that you come across.
Okay.
And, I mean, love him or hate him, the Aiden Pearson, his mighty, mighty baseball cap, at least there was only one person there who had to deliver voiceover lines in a mildly convincing fashion. Mm-hmm. I picked a bloke who, frankly... looks like an upper-class English version of Tom Selleck.
Oh, before we get to who you picked, because just to sort of kind of set us up, the idea is DedSec in this one, they've been set up by another terrorist group. Sorry, another terrorist group. Another hacker group called, what's the name again? Well done, Chris. You put that. Zero Day. They're called Zero Day. They set off bombs all over London. DedSec have been blamed, and they've gone underground, been killed off. The police are hunting them. And it kind of sets off this thing of, right, DedSec needs to rebuild. We're going to find someone who's been recruited but hasn't yet been brought within to DedSec. and that's who you pick to begin with. So who's your character? Who do you go for first?
He was the guy with who's got a hotline to the police commissioner.
Okay.
It's a guy called, I think he's called Guy, I think. But he does look like an upper middle class twit version of Tom Selleck. And my God, his voice actor is bad.
Oh, we'll get to the voice actor in the moment. Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, it's so bad.
I can't remember the name of my guy. I think it was Brian something or other. He's
a good generic British name. Brian, that'll do.
And I don't know if the starting characters you pick are procedurally generated like the rest of the NPCs are, or if it is a set amount of people. But I picked this one. I basically picked the one who looks like he should not be the hero of the day, the one that you go to. So he's an entertainer.
Right.
He is a very kind of scrawny...
From the 70s?
No, he's just called...
Because that could go a direction.
Just says entertainer. He sounds like he's a very kind of... a very yoppish kind of person.
Uh-huh.
You'd expect him to have a best friend called Rubes, and they drink in South Kensington.
Lovely.
And yeah, so...
Where shall we gentrify next, Rubes? I don't know, chap. Let us go down to the mean streets of Brixton and gentrify the snot out of it. Okay, jolly good.
And literally, the only quality he has is he owns a motorbike. And that was
That is his defining characteristic.
Yeah. Oh no,
he owns a motorbike.
And that's the other thing. It makes a little set of BIOS little traits and things to them. And the last thing mentioned, because I didn't look at that before I picked him. I looked at that during gameplay, and I went, "Oh, I didn't see that." And I had a little rundown. And the last key defining characteristic of Brian is voted yes for Brexit. Because it reminded me, I went, oh yeah, didn't Ubisoft come out and make like a big thing of we stand in solidarity with Britain against Brexit and all this kind of stuff, and we still embrace you as part of Europe, and they basically insinuated that this game will be somehow linked to Brexit, and none of it, as far as I can tell, is linked to Brexit, other than foreign people bad, which they in part of the storyline they use.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting, I mean, obviously, I think you get essentially a set of pre-rolled characters at the beginning. Mm. But then as you traverse around the world, I mean, very early on, you're kind of tasked with recruiting someone as part of the kind of extended tutorial that is the first couple of chapters of the game.
Yeah.
But I did come across people that it's kind of almost reminded me a bit of Rogue Legacy, where there's not only positive modifiers, like, hey, this person is a construction worker, so they'll blend in construction environments and no one will kind of give them a second glance. But there's also negative modifiers as well.
Yes.
Like there's someone, a lovely lady, she looked lovely, really nice, you know, seemed nice and friendly, trendy. You know, in media, kind of, okay, right, you clearly switched on, has a bit of a problem with flatulence and farts every now and again. And
so they're rubbish of stealth. Oh, what? Brilliant. So they'd be rubbish of stealth.
Yeah, it'd be rubbish of stealth. So she could be like, oh, do, being stealthy.
That's kind of like when you recruit one of the elderly members of the public and they can't, they have no stamina, so they can't sprint and they can't, because they've got bad knees or backs, they can't squat into like stealth positions.
Nice.
Or they can't, like I've got one who's kind of a middle-aged woman and she can't fight, but she has like a cattle prod type there, a taser. So she'll kind of knock someone down and tase them. But the way she fights
is... just a ginormous vibrator?
No. But the way she fights is...
Are you sure?
It is very funny because like she'll sneak up and stun someone and then they'll hit the floor and then they'll start to get back up and she kind of grabs them by the scruff and pulls them back and stuns them again. That's really funny.
But I mean, I think it's one of those things that initially it seems like, oh, wow, there's kind of endless possibilities. But it becomes quite quickly apparent, certainly in the characters I've come across, that there isn't actually that much meaningful variation between the people you come across, certainly in my experience so far.
Yeah. I've Mine's very confusing because, so we'll go back to the voice actors. So not only are they procedurally generated in looks and stuff, which can make for some very scary looking NPCs that you come across, but also...
Hey, but Carmen, in all honesty, humans are procedurally generated, and there's some pretty weird looking humans out there.
That's fair enough. But
looking at you, Nigel Farage, you frog face git.
that there are a lot of people that, in my opinion, their voices don't match who they are. So, for instance, one of the first kind of quest people that you have to go and find is a builder, because builders have access to heavy lifting drones, and you need that for your mission.
Indeed.
And and that was the other thing as well. I'm noticing in my playthrough, I don't know about you, a distinct lack of Cockneys in this game.
I haven't come across a Cockney. No. No one has told me to get on the dog and bone.
And I went, builder, right, okay, either I'm getting an Eastern European or a Cockney, 50-50, really.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I find the guy, and he sounds like you. No joke. And,
really?
Yes, and it's really funny because if you go to another character and then you go back to the... If you jump to a character that you want to play as, it will, in some cases, a bit like GTA 5, put them in a situation where they've been off living their life and then you've just jumped into it. And this builder is at the pub having like a nice glass of Chardonnay. and then and your AI comes out and goes, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm just mixing it with the local ruffians. And like,
I think your builder has got the same voice actor as my guy. Does he call everyone darling a lot?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same voice actor.
And it seems to be there is a very kind of set amount of voice actors in play, but what they've instead done is changed... They changed the pitch. They mess around with that to how people sound. So some of them sound comically weird because their voice has been deepened and it doesn't sound natural at all.
But there's other things as well. I mean, not that... It's so difficult. You don't want to assume just because of someone's appearance from a ethnographic point of view that they will sound a certain way.
Oh no, but, I'm not saying they don't sound black
but
or Indian.
But I've come across an individual who, looking at them quite clearly, is Afro-Caribbean in origin, but
yes,
they've got a very heavy Indian accent.
Yeah, I've had that too.
which
it's
is
a bit jarring.
I'm not saying that never happens, but it's a bit odd that they haven't matched up the likely, you know, kind of the likely voices with the kind of individuals who you meet. That's a whole very deep, potentially thorny issue that, you know, I hope you know, listeners, that we don't assume much.
No.
But, you know, in something like a video game, like Watch Dogs Legion, you would expect, you know, one of the joys of London that it is so multicultural, but when there's kind of that disconnect between what you're seeing and actually how these individuals behave, it kind of breaks that fourth wall a bit, I find.
My favourite so far is I've got a hitman who's she's a young black woman who...
Hit woman.
I get. I don't see in gender, you see. But has the voice.
Do you reckon they put hitman, hit his, hit...
I think they're all defined as hitman. As the class, but anyway, the voice that comes off of this woman is distinctly that of a very, very elderly woman, and it's so weird. And she calls me like dearie and stuff, and I'm like, that's not right. But yeah, it's very interesting.
I'm gonna go and sick some mercs. It's what I'm gonna do. Oh, then I'm gonna go and get my Werther's originals, and I'm gonna pop them down their gullet, and they're gonna choke on a Werther's original, and then no one will know.
That's
because the Werther's original will dissolve in their mouth.
That's
and
exactly
it will be a perfect crime.
The interesting thing about, because the NPC system, like, you can recruit anyone that is available, and some are harder to recruit than others, and there's different ways of recruiting people. Like, you can just walk up to someone on the street and go, yep, I'm going to recruit you, and he'll go, do this mission, and you can have them. On other cases, it might be someone that hates DedSec, and then you've got to get certain abilities to do a deep dive into their history and figure out what, like, another gang, rival gang or something might have evidence over them, or the police might be after them for something, so you can go destroy evidence and then you can do a mission to make them join your gang. Other ones, it's things like, have you done any of the bare knuckle boxing rounds yet?
Not yet.
I've done all of them, and I did them all as Brian because it was hilarious to me.
Good.
But I dressed him up as John Constantine before I did that.
Okay, well, and, at least there's something there.
But if you beat everyone in the bare knuckle boxing, then anyone that you've fought can be recruited, but you're aiming for like the last people that you meet because they'll have like more fighting skills. And I've recruited all of the bare knuckle boxers. And then other ways are you might come across the local security beating someone up, and then you go save them and they'll go, oh, I'll join DedSec. And then you can literally just chuck them in. And then I think the other one is if you liberate boroughs of London, which Ubisoft love doing that in games. If you liberate an area, then it will unlock someone for you to bring into your team. And the way you do that is like little missions, like sabotage this or kill this enemy.
I recently liberated the crap out of Camden, so I'm looking forward to having either someone who runs a falafel truck as my special unlock.
Or the reanimated corpse of Amy Winehouse.
Oh, yeah. That'd be nice. yeah, and I mean, just on that note, it's not like the whole of London is open for liberation.
No.
Obviously, it's kind of like the best geographical hits of London, I think.
It's kind of like
to describe it.
It's the same way as the crew when, okay, you get to drive across the entirety of the United States, which is technically true. There's a map you can drive across it, but it's here are the highlights, here are the landmarks, here are certain locations you might be familiar with. But then it's all jammed together. And I certainly found that with, I think when we first looked at the reveal, they start off in Piccadilly Circus, and then the guy is running from the local security or police, and he starts running down Soho. And I'm like, I recognize that. So like, I'm very au fait with central London. And I was like, I know that corner he just took. I know where there's a steakhouse down there and all that kind of stuff. And like one of the first things I did when central London tried to find the old loading location in Soho, not there because, well, one, loading's not there anymore, but two, that street's not there.
And
it's really weird because it looks so much like it. And then you expect to take the correct twists and turns and it's all kind of mashed together.
Yeah. I mean, cause I'm more familiar with like North London, kind of Camden, that side of things. Euston Station is practically just not there. It's Euston Square Station, I think, is the little one, is the little version that you get. But also, you know, I've actually been really impressed by like Camden. Like Camden Market looks.
They put a lot of focus into Camden.
Absolutely spot on. It really does. But it is a bit disorientating to all of a sudden, you know, within 2 minutes be able to be in Green Park. But I mean, I think it's a real testament to their art team, actually, how convincing the bits of the set pieces of London feel.
Oh yeah.
And they've done a great job with it. They have done a great job with it, definitely. Although none of the AI drivers can work out what a giveaway bit in the road, what that means. They just go, do you know what? I'm just gonna pretend like I drive a BMW and I'm just gonna pull out anyway because I'm an arse.
It'll be interesting to see because I've got I know you're on the PC version. I'm on the PS4 version. With the PS4 version, you get the PS5 upgrade. I'm wondering if they'll do a similar thing when GTA 5 went from Xbox and PS3 and Xbox 360 to Xbox One and PS4. And then all of a sudden there was more people on the road. I'm wondering if a similar thing happens because at the moment you need to get about 100 times the amount of cars to be more realistic to London and not be able to drive around corners and stuff.
Unless it's lockdown.
Yeah, you can't hop onto a curb and then drive around people because someone's already doing that. They'll get in your way.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, well, that's normal. That's just what you see every day. Oh, I didn't need to get run down by somebody. There's not many bloody cyclists, actually.
There's no bikes, well, motorcyclists, no cyclists at all.
No bicyclists.
No, they're outlawed in between.
Good.
Yeah.
Good is all I have to say about that. Good.
I do like there's this kind of Uber replacement. You see the cars driving around and it's a very Detroit become human looking vehicle.
Oh, they're the AI taxis.
Yeah, they're like domed looking cars and you get it and then all the... and. The idea is the other thing as well, there's a lot of cars that have the ability to auto drive, much like kind of Tesla's playing around with now and other companies. And
not very well, I may add.
Not well. But
although you can recreate the authentic Tesla auto drive experience by hacking a car and telling it to drive randomly forwards, which, you know, if you want to want to, you know, pretend you own a Tesla with autopilot, and that's what you can do.
But because of that, you can basically just grab cars that are driving around, and a lot of the time, much like GTA, you'll go open the door, someone will get out, and then you go in and you've hijacked the car. But then a lot of the times you'll just find that a car is driving around on its own, and there's like a little A LED in the windshield, and that means that the car's driving itself to the destination, which I love the idea of. But it looks very interesting. But you might see something like an older car, looks like a Mini or something, and then you'll go in there and hit the... Because that the smart drive feature is really cool. You just set your location and you're like, well, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee. You drive yourself for a bit and I'll be back. But then you'll find like an older car, get in and hit the auto drive. It's like, this can't do that. What are you doing? No, look at this car. Yeah, and same, you can't do it on motorbikes either.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some quite nice nods to like classic British cars. There's stuff that's obviously modelled on like a Morris Minor, an Aston Martin, both new and old. But yeah, I mean, one of the things I don't feel that, which is strange, bearing in mind the premise of the game, but I've yet to feel like, A, there is as much variety in what I do in the game as I would expect, and there isn't as much opportunity for technological shenanigans and general mischief as I would expect. It feels a very, oddly so, by the numbers game, certainly the bits I've got to so far. There's the critical path of how to solve a situation is generally spider drone, trundle around, hack a camera, arm a trap, do a thing, you're done.
But then I find there are, because I'm only just starting to get through the story now because I've spent so much time recruiting people and mucking about and doing little side missions and stuff, because you give me a map of icons, I'm going to want to clear the map of icons. It's my OCD nature. But then
that's how
when,
to distract Coleman.
But the kind of hype up for this is they've gone, there's loads of different ways to do a mission, and that's correct in most cases. And they'll go, you can be a spider bot, and like the spider bot will take all the kind of heat off you. And I do that most times. I do like playing with the spider bot and throwing that into an area and getting to unlock everything and get the pictures and what have you. But there are certain things the spider bot can't do. And I've just found that there are areas where it will go, here's a gold icon for you to follow. Oh, it leads to a door. And you can't open the door unless you are the human that is coming in to open the door, because you have to progress the story. Like, ah, it kind of takes me out of it a bit, because you've promised me one thing and given me another, but it's in this situation, so I guess it's okay, but hey-ho.
Yeah, although I think one of the things that's going to be really interesting, and you can only really get a bit of a glimpse under the hood in terms of the microtransactions that are evident in the game at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
But there is a Watch Dogs Online mode incoming.
In December,
which I'm going to be very interested to see how that plays out and how that's balanced. And because in The Division, which I realize is a very, very different game, although comes from the same publisher ultimately. But how they got away with like the craziness and the lack of balance and the hijinks of going rogue was that they kept it limited to an area of the map. It's going to be really interesting to see how they manage the potential for chaos and keep it entertaining and keep it fun in the online mode, or whether or not it's a thinly veiled cash grab for cosmetic microtransactions.
I'm assuming it is going to be something more along the lines of GTA Online, because in the past they've not really, like, they've had online modes, but I completely forget that Watch Dogs had online modes because they've not been interesting. And the most interesting one they had was with Watch Dogs 2, where you could jump into, Watch Dogs 1, where you could jump into someone's game and hack them and muck around with their progress, which I immediately turned off, but it is fun to muck around with every now and then. And you had to do things like you get in a car and you had a function to kind of put the seat back and hide, because you had to hide from another player that might be coming in to try and hack you during the game and steal your money or do whatever, fail your mission. So I'm wondering what they're doing with that, but I'm probably going to wait until the next generation version of the game before getting into online, simply because I don't know if you've the embargoes for the Xbox Series X lifted today, so all the reviews and stuff are coming out. I don't know if you've seen the load times on that thing.
Instant, pretty much.
Oh, my God. They did a... I saw a comparison of GTA 5 on the Xbox One, and it took something like 8 minutes to load up. And then it did a Xbox Series X, and it took a, was it, a minute 45? And then they did the Xbox Series X, and it took 6 seconds. And like,
yep.
I feel I've wasted too much of my life looking at loading screens. I'm going to wait till the next gen.
Yep, absolutely.
Screens in this are abysmal as well. Yeah. As many open world games are.
I mean, I've installed mine on just a normal spinning hard drive as opposed to an SSD because the game is huge.
Super effective drive.
It's huge. It's a huge game.
No.
Oh, what? Okay.
we're not doing that.
No, all right, okay. I can't hereby claim anything is what you're saying. I can't hereby claim some space on my hard drive for Watch Dogs. The loading times aren't too bad, but I mean, I'd be interested to hear how it's performing on PS4 because stuff, if you want the bells and whistles on PC, you need a powerful system.
I've heard, and...
And I think it's quite poorly optimized at the moment.
Yeah, I heard they had to patch it like a couple of days into launch because there was something very, very wrong with the launch state of the game on PC.
Yeah, and the only way I've been able to... I mean, so just, you know, I think my experience on PC is CPU limited. I've got a 7th gen Intel processor, 7700K, which is, it's not bad, but it's no longer... anywhere near cutting edge. And there's an RTX 3080 in my system as well, and it's very much CPU bound. But I was anticipating getting a bit more than 45 frames a second, even with like the lowest amount of ray tracing turned on, which is obviously one of the big selling points of this game. When you do have ray tracing turn on, God, it looks fantastic, this game. But you're going to need a system with some serious grunt to get a consistently smooth, enjoyable frame rate from it. Obviously, on current-gen consoles, so PS4, Xbox One, there isn't that ray tracing tech built in because, you know, computationally, it's just not possible. But in terms of how the game's been performing on PS4, I mean, how have you found it? Has it been good, bad, ugly?
So... the game itself, it looks great. Minor problems like the lip syncing doesn't really match up, but I expected as much when I was looking at what's going on with this game. Not so much graphical issues as I've had a couple of bugs. Like I've had a car that just went up on its side and started spinning around, which I think I got on capture. I should really have a look if I've got that and put it somewhere. Other things, I was in a mission where I had to go hack like a terminal, and as I'm driving to the terminal, my car just blew up randomly. So, yeah. but I think
other brands of self-immolation are available.
Yeah. There was an issue with the radio in the game on console versions, I heard, where it was literally, it wasn't doing the full scope of all the radio stations. So when I first started playing the game, I had a Skepta song, a Stormzy song, and talk radio. And that was all that was available on my radio. and it only just started working properly yesterday as well when I was playing last night. It might have started working before, but I took a couple of days off to do some VR stuff. But there was a moment where like something really horrible was going on in the game and there's a radio playing in the background. And I realized the radio started working because all you can hear is, "It's coming home,
it's coming home. Oh, please tell me Vindaloo's on there. That is the better song. As we all know, that is the true song. I don't watch much football. I have little time for glorified passing around of pig bladders.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Bagley. I like Bagley. He's your AI component. Who do you think he's voice acted by?
I don't know. It might be the bastard love child of Stephen Merchant and Richard Iowadi.
I so thought it was Danny Wallace.
Really?
The whole I was like, that's Danny Wallace. That's definitely Danny Wallace. And I'd heard it in snippets before. I go, oh, they got Danny Wallace for the game. And then as I'm playing, I go, definitely Danny Wallace. Looked it up, not Danny Wallace. it's Pascal Longsdale. He played really? Ethan Mars in Heavy Rain. The main character
really?
In Heavy Rain. Yeah, yeah. I didn't see that coming. But I was like,
I haven't even felt like I've embarked on any kind of emotional roller coaster.
But that amused me. Decent game. Yeah. If you are really clambering for a cyberpunky type game and you can't wait, then I think you can throw down on this. I would suggest waiting for the next gen versions of the game if you're really looking forward to this and you didn't mind about the Ubisoft stuff anyway, you probably would have picked it up at this point. So what we say isn't going to matter, but I'm enjoying it for what it is. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't the London setting, you know, hands on the table, cards on the table. If it wasn't the London setting, I probably wouldn't be too bothered about this.
Yeah.
But as a follow up to Watch Dogs 2, if it came out a year or two ago and I went from Watch Dogs 2 to this, I'd be a lot more happier than I am today with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I really want to like this game more than I do. I really want to like it more than I do, but I think one of the challenges, and it's always been the case with Watch Dogs games, is that it's meant to be this limitless playground, that everything is hackable, that you can change the city around, you can do whatever the heck you like. But due to just the realities of, you know, game design, technological limitations, that isn't the case. And I often find myself becoming aware of those limitations. And I think because of that, it feels like it's pulling its punches a bit, this game. I think the idea of like the Legion is a cool one, an interesting one, it doesn't quite land that very well. It doesn't quite land it well. The voice acting is, you know, pretty terrible from some of the potted voices. And some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Are really bad. And that can break the kind of the impact of the narrative sometimes, I find, because I think they're trying to make the characters a bit more of a caricature rather than actually a believable individual, which I think for some of the themes that are being discussed in the story of the game, you kind of need that person to be a believable character. So I'll continue to dabble in it. I don't think I'm going to kind of mainline it in one sitting. But, you know, I think if it wasn't for the fact it was set in London, my level of interest would be considerably less.
If it was set in Portsmouth, this would be the game of the year for me.
Watchdogs Pompey.
Come on. So, but then no one sounds like they're from Pompey.
No. So anyway, I probably wait a bit to pick it up, to be honest with you.
That's fair.
There is a season pass coming along, but that looks very expensive. And it's fairly loose on the details of exactly what you might get with that season pass. So
I mean, you get some character stuff. You get is it Aiden Pierce, the guy with the iconic
Do you get his signature baseball cap?
Do you know what? They've changed the name, because it used to be the iconic baseball cap, and now it's the signature baseball cap. So they seriously had, I'm thinking they had enough of people making that meme. But yes, you can get the baseball cap on your whatever, Ubisoft Connect, the new thing.
Yep.
Is that what it's called? Anyway, so there's going to be missions involving him. The guy from number two's got the LED mask face thing. An assassin from Assassin's Creed, but none of them, like, apparently this is separate from Assassin's Creed. It's just an assassin. And then a mystery character.
Ooh.
So there you go.
Ooh.
This is available on the PC, PS4, Xbox One, Google Stadia, and coming to PS5 and Xbox Series X. And if you buy the Xbox One or PS4 versions of the game, you get free upgrades to PS5 and Xbox
Series X. You most certainly do.
Dan, I courtesy of the very funny Matt Lees, I wrote down some alternative names for London.
Okay, go for it.
I just wanted to roll these by you.
If you indulge me
for a second.
All right.
So it's London, see your slags.
Yep, like it.
Muppet Central.
Nice.
Home of the Geezer.
Ooh.
Queen's Old Gaff.
Wow, nice.
The Mucky Chimney.
Ooh.
The Smutty Jungle.
Now that one is a winner.
The Big Old City Place.
Yeah, well, that's kind of...
The Big Smoky Monkey.
Eh?
The Cobbles and Bones.
Eh.
The Big Monkey... The Big Mucky Banana.
Ooh, is that... But that goes with the chocolate fun pipe or whatever the other one you said was.
And the Warehouse of Dreams.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. I was hoping to seamlessly throw those in, but I didn't, so I thought I'd read them all
at
the end. Dan, Tim is has gone from I can't make the show to I really want to come on the show and talk about a game. So shall we jump
which we didn't know was going to be the case. So we're 40 minutes deep, and we've got Tim to fit in here. So,
Ooh, saucy.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Up my sooty chimney.
Ah!
Oh, what's that appearing on the horizon? Is it he's fresh from rummaging around the rectum of England, London Town?
Fresh from
really
the
wondered
slags,
where you were
Tim's.
Going with that. But hey, yeah, I'm sad. I'm guessing from that I missed out on the Watch Dogs Legion discussion already.
Yeah, you muppet.
Yeah. Oh. That's a shame.
You'll have to listen.
I actually wanted to know what both of you thought.
Coleman.
Sure game, but hey.
Coleman made notes.
Yeah.
Ooh, notes.
Notes.
I know. Actual notes. I, and you'll be amazed by this, I winged it.
Oh.
Amazing, right?
Amazed.
Totally winged it.
I'm trying this new thing called preparation.
Nah. Nah. If you had to come up with an alternate name for London, Tim, what would it be?
Londinium.
Oh, f-
yeah, it's overused.
Yeah.
The Boris Bush Gardens.
What? Where did that come from?
I'm trying to do Cockney
names. The Rhine of Opportunity.
This is all stuff that will become clear to you when you've listened to the show tomorrow, Tim. Tim,
okay.
The next generation of consoles are almost here, but you are playing a game that's heavily touted for the Xbox Series X, but you're playing it on PlayStation 5.
The new Dirt bend of 5. Dreams.
I'm playing it on PlayStation 4.
Sorry, PlayStation 4,
I don't
not
have
5.
A PlayStation 5 yet.
Apologies.
I'm not one of those lucky people that do. But yeah, this is one that I hope to play on PS5. I believe it's one of the ones that's getting an upgrade thing, and I'm going to see how that goes with this
game. What game is this?
But, this game is Dirt 5, as Coleman said.
Yeah.
Good, I wasn't paying attention.
For anyone that doesn't know, the dirt portion of this is generally,
dirty.
It's a bit more arcadey than Dirt Rally, basically. I always never sure which way round things are or whatever. But this is the more arcadey game, basically.
Are there any mucky bananas?
No mucky bananas that I've seen, but there are levels in Brazil, so maybe.
Uh-huh.
It's the idea of the kind of Forza Horizon festival setting, but more arcadey than Forza Horizon. Would that be accurate?
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say it's as arcadey as Forza Horizon.
Oh, really? Okay.
I wouldn't say it was massively more arcadey. There's possibly a bit more rubber banding in the AI when you're racing things, a bit more of a tendency for it to kind of keep up with you when you're doing well, just to kind of push you a little bit. And a bit of a tendency for it to drop back a bit when you're not doing so well kind of idea. So there's a slightly more arcadey nature to the AI maybe, but overall I'd say, yeah, it's a similar sort of thing to Horizon, but it's all rally races.
Okay.
But it is a big range of different styles of races and different things. There are some things that I couldn't tell you what the difference is between some of the events that are here. I don't know exactly what a stampede is, even after doing it numerous times. And yeah,
that's the thing that killed Mufasa.
It's what you get outside. What we get outside. Curry's PC World on Black Friday. That's what you get.
There's like rally raid events, which are like point to point races. And then there's other events, Stampede's being one of them, and a few other ones that are more kind of track style events where you've got.
I have a question.
Of a track. Yes.
How can you have a stampede when your mode of perambulation does not involve feet? It involves wheels. Yep. That's not a stampede.
I don't know. I have to get back to you on that one. But yeah,
I would appreciate it if you did. Thank you.
Answers on a postcard.
Some confusions about the events and stuff here and there. And other than, yeah, I had a couple of technical hiccups, and I'll get all my sort of concerns out of the way first on this one, but I had a couple of technical hiccups, same problem basically a couple of times.
Fairly major scaring problem, yourself.
But I was playing pre-release and pre-launch day patch, which I'm hoping has eliminated this problem because it was a significant one in terms of making more progress in the game and getting further into it. It wiped all of my progress. Twice.
was there any? I'm assuming that wasn't a development thing where they've gone, we have to wipe on this day.
I don't know. Like, I've experienced that with online modes. That doesn't usually happen with the single player portion of something pre-release. So,
did it get a software update? Because that sometimes does it.
It's had a couple of updates. It had one even pre-launch, I think, and possibly one on launch day that's now occurred, I think, that I've played since and not had a problem since that patch. But I did have, as I said, two instances of it beforehand. I'm mentioning it simply because it hampered my progress in the game, and so I haven't seen as deep into the game as I would otherwise, basically.
Right.
But yeah, there's those concerns out of the way. This game is freaking fantastic. Like, the actual racing of the game and the actual races themselves, and the events that they put you in. As I said, I have some confusion over what the difference between the nuances of some of those events are, but like, just going around and doing the races and actually racing in the game is fantastic. Like, as I said, it's a real range of different rally events and different rally kind of cars. There's like 80s classics, 90s classics, modern rally cars, and then a selection of other more weird vehicles, generally particular to the event that you're doing. The ones that is a Pathfinder event, where it gives you like a really like heavy duty off-roader that's like really good at going up like almost vertical cliffs, and then gets you to go up almost vertical cliffs. So the verticality of the levels is something I haven't seen in another game done as well, basically.
So it's like orienteering for Jeremy Clarkson.
Well, it's not quite as open-minded as Pathfinder would suggest.
I was about to say it's not open-minded as Clarkson. So, well, most things are more open-minded than Clarkson.
It's more of an assault course than it is a race course, almost. Obviously, you're racing and trying to get the best time on it, but it's an assault course in a car. Like, you're going up like vertical cliffs and going up big S-bends that go up and around a cliff and around a big rock and jumping off one rock onto another. And like, it's really, like, I really enjoyed those events. And even though I had to play through the start of the game three times, I really enjoyed the start of the game every single time. Like, the first levels they take you through are some really good fun levels. There's a really good Pathfinder one early on. And one of the first races it gets you to do is one of the races in Brazil, which I think it's called the Redeemer. And it's got Christ the Redeemer statue in the background that you're kind of racing around slightly, but it's kind of racing through the favelas of Brazil. And it's got a real good kind of, again, to use the word verticality, but it's got a real good kind of, verticality to it, and like, very good topography, and just really interesting, a really interesting, really well done race. But some of the detail that it shows in that race is some of the stuff that's like really nice and works really well. Like, the level of kind of, and it's in a game called Dirt, you might expect it, but the level of kind of mud attrition, like mud that comes up from the road and from like puddles and like,
whoa,
the feel of going through those as well. That's why I'm really looking forward to playing it on PS5, possibly with the more active triggers, and that's why it might be slightly better on Xbox in this generation. But yeah, like, just generally the feel of like going through that mud anyway on just the standard PS4 pad it's got a real good kind of meaty feel to driving through like deeper mud and stuff. But then the mud and the mud attrition on your car as you're going around a dirty, like, a rainy, dirt-ridden track, just really adds to the kind of immersion of what's going on. Obviously, they've used some of the tech from the rally game and applied it to this, but it's a formula I kind of, as I said, appeals to me a bit more. I'm a bit more of an arcadey racer kind of fan than the sim fan. And this really nails that really well. Like the events are, like, as I said, quite varied, but the structure, and I've talked about this in other games being bad, this is a structure that's really good. Like it encourages you to play levels that you might not like, but you don't have to necessarily do that well at them to open up the subsequent levels. And there's often a choice of the different type of level that you can do to open up subsequent levels. And it basically breaks it down into different chapters. The first one's called Ignition. And then I think it's Acceleration. And there's other kind of...
I see what they did there.
Yeah. And other kind of racing terms from there. But they've kind of broken each one down into like
different... Are you on the road to success?
Yeah. And you get kind of like bigger kind of end of area... levels when you're kind of coming to the end of that. And then also along the way they introduce like takedowns, which are generally like one-on-one races. Although
what is this, some kind of Burnout?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But they're just like a one-on-one race on a track, and you just kind of got to beat the other racer to win that event, basically. And yeah, that they work quite well, and they come up a bit randomly. I think I got to the third one before like the major part of things got wiped out or whatever. But yeah, like as I said, the actual racing and the structure of the game is really good. That's the kind of main career mode and the setup of that. There's some kind of people that introduce you to that, and part of the reason why I possibly didn't take in all the information that they were explaining at the beginning is they're quite entertaining, but they drop in a few too many jokes and a few too many lines about stuff when they should just be teaching you the stuff perhaps to start with, and then later in the game when you're going to the levels do all the funny stuff. That's my only criticism about that.
You grumpy old bugger Hibs.
But there's so many things like they are generally reasonably funny, and like they do great a couple of times, and generally can be a bit abrasive at times, but generally they're quite funny commentators, and they add a nice like level of flavor and stuff. Also, I have to give particular mention to the soundtrack, which is an absolute banger. They've done really well at picking like a really good driving music that fits the kind of attitude and style of the game, and I just happen to really like a lot of the tunes on it. Well, they've got like
S Club. Let's go party! Let's go party!
What you'd expect from sort of Chemical Brothers and Prodigy, but then they've also got Royal Blood and some other more like kind of rocky stuff as well. But yeah, like there's a few tracks which I have already added to like my Spotify lists and stuff because I like the track so much and have discovered them through this game. So I have to give that a shout out as well. But yeah, like I said, there's a real lot to like. I also, which I will possibly discuss more next week because we may not have time this week, but I also got a new TV this week and playing it on my new...
Yes, you definitely haven't got time to talk about that.
has been really nice. And yeah, this is a game that has been really like benefited from the HDR and all that type of stuff that I didn't have on my previous TV, but I have been able to see literally a good comparison between what is good and what is bad, and the kind of dynamic weather effects and all the stuff that comes with that. And also like the one thing I really noticed that was looked good on the old TV, but was like noticeably like, oh my word, that looks great, is when you're going in and out of tunnels, like the light difference when it actually goes dark as you go in the tunnel, and then the kind of bloom effect as you come out was, yeah, noticeably like really, really stunning. And I've been really enjoying like playing the game because it's really visually kind of impacting, and they've done like lots to cram in, you know, just like it's a feast for the eyes, it's a feast for the ears. I like playing it. Like it's been a really enjoyable thing to get through. As I said, couple of technical things aside, which hopefully aren't an issue going forward, but yeah, really enjoyed my time with the game, and I will be playing more of it. It's my sort of game. I didn't mention some of the other events, but there's the Gymkhana's made a return, and I know we've mentioned that on the show before, so I should probably...
Driving whilst wearing a leotard. We all know that what that is.
But that's the kind of, you know, style type thing, and I quite like that that's back in. I liked that before. There's other, like, ice racing events and a few other things, like ice breakers, they call them.
See what I did there?
But when you're really, like, it really is like a complete, like, you're racing on a lake of ice and the whole track is like a figure eight on ice, basically. And, yeah, like, but they're hard but enjoyable. And, yeah, I was getting to the point where the races were getting a bit harder as I was getting further into the game. But I was still really enjoying just racing and enjoying the challenge. And there's some... I think it's a quarry type thing in Italy. That level in the big trucks and stuff has been really good fun because it really works really well for that kind of level. And just, yeah, there's various different courses from various different places around the world, and they're kind of fantastical, but set in real world-ish locations. So you might have like a big jump and stuff, but they are, like, as I said, set in a quarry or set in Brazil in Italy or set in Nepal near Everest. But they've literally, I think also because they don't have to go as realistic as they do for the other thing, they've just been able to do anything they can that is enjoyable in this environment. And that really shows. It really is a like good, fun enjoyment. Enjoying thing to play through. So yeah, I've been really enjoying that this week. So yeah.
So you mentioned Flavellas. What's your favorite one? Mine's the strawberry.
Ooh,
Coleman,
strawberry Flavella.
I'm a big fan of the gingerbread Flavella.
I'll
go grape.
Nice, good.
Grape Fluvella.
Good.
So yeah, this
in this week's episode of Tim Hibbs versus the English language.
I didn't say up front as well, but I did get sent a review code for this, so take that with a pinch of salt.
Thank you, Code Masters.
Hasn't lessened my enjoyment of the game.
Thank you, Cody.
Whatsoever, but yeah.
I was going to say, because you talk about the visual style of this. This is the game that they've been using to, I think I previously mentioned, but they've been using this to kind of tout the graphical fidelity of the Xbox Series X. I know IGN did a big thing where they went through, because there's ridiculous amounts of graphical settings on a console game.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, it does this and this and this and this, and you can play with it all, and it can run better or it can look better. And yeah, it's one that I think I'm going to pick up myself, but I think I'll wait for the next-gen console version just because I have enough stuff on my plate at the moment.
Is there cross-play?
Don't know. I haven't messed around with the online too much because that wasn't available at all times, and you know me, I don't tend to go too far deep into that stuff anyway, but the times where I was like, oh, okay, I have a quick look at online, it wasn't available to me. So,
was your internet connected?
No, that, again, I think was just a pre-launch thing.
Switched off.
That seems to have been okay since. I just haven't had a chance to go online and test it.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
You've had in your possession a racing game pre-launch. Have you done the thing that you have to do with every kind of thing that features an online scoreboard and try to be the number one in the world when there's like three players?
With only three people. I haven't noticed. I haven't looked at any online leaderboard things or anything.
Oh, man.
Oh, Tim.
Oh, dear.
Boo.
And trying to race through the game.
Boo. Bloody novice mode.
I might come back and report more to make sure there isn't any of those problems that were pre-launch, and just generally talk about it because I'm definitely going to play a bit more of it because, yeah, it looks lovely. It plays really well, and I'm really enjoying it. So, yeah.
So that's good. Dirt 5. That's available right now. Well, in fact, that was available on the 3rd of November if you bought the super expensive version for £75. But if you are a regular person, it is available the day we release this here podcast.
So it is.
PC, PS4, Xbox One, Google Stadia, and then it's coming out on the PlayStation 5 and X Series X, and that sounds like another free upgrade for those two as well, much like Watch Dogs Legions.
Yep. Indeed it is.
What time to be alive!
Make sure you shop around for good-priced codes for it, is all I will say, from reputable key dealers, because you can bag yourself a deal.
You can.
You can bag yourself a deal.
Yeah. I want to play this. I was watching a couple of YouTubers play this earlier today, so I do like the look of this, but again, it's not in my it's not in my priority with Spider-Man so close.
Yeah, I kind of recommend it as a good way of testing out your new equipment in terms of consoles and TV. It's a good benchmark testing.
Lovely.
Shall we wrap up?
I think we should. So I think there's probably a little bit of housekeeping to do. Should we do that before or after the community feedback, do you reckon? Let's do it before. Okay, so this week, the week we're recording this, is notionally Extra Life. But there's been a bunch of real world having to adult stuff that's got in the way this year. So I think us three are going to just be picking up time where we can, and we'll be doing our best to stream. But who is going to be doing a whole load of Extra Life, and despite the fact he's just had two kids, is Kevin White. He flies through the night. So make sure you go. There is a Big Red Barrel team on extralife.com.
Yep.
extra-life.com. Make sure you donate to Kev and anyone else who's there if you can.
Yeah. Dear Med, I mean, Bleazy, all our friends. Jamie,
and I'll be jumping on and I'll be hijacking various streams. Chances
much
are,
much like a member of Dead Sequid in Watch Dogs 1.
I am that gritty and real. You are right. And I may well be doing a little stream of my own, but I will probably just hijack Kev's because he's nice like that. And who knows? I might be playing some new Destiny stuff.
I think Bleazy's planning some Among Us, so maybe we can just sneak into his and kill him.
Yes, please.
Fun.
Yeah. Yes, please. So yeah, we will appear on streams, but in terms of donating, I mean, obviously any amount you can donate, Bickle Sports, great. I will be encouraging people who would usually who are usually kind enough to donate to me to donate to Kev this year, because he's going to be able to put in a much more consistent showing than I. We'll do our best to tweet any BRB folks who are doing the streaming from the BRB account.
Hmm.
And we might even host them on BRB's Twitch channel as well. Who knows? That would be something to do.
That'd be nice.
Wouldn't it just?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all the housekeeping I have for today.
You want some community feedback and involvement and stuff? And
ting? Please do.
Cool. So you've enjoyed...
And ting.
If you enjoy the show and you're like, hold on, there's not enough of this show, I want to get involved somehow, then
do
you
what
can
Carmen
do...
did. Stalk us for 4 years and then become a host on the podcast.
Take over from one of the other hosts.
Engage in some like character assassination of one of the hosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can do so on, we got a comment section on bigredbarrel.com. Also on bigredbarrel.com, there is a link to our Discord. We have a Facebook and a Twitter at Big Red Barrel. And also we have a YouTube channel called Big Red Barrel TV.
Sorry, something's gone wrong.
What's gone wrong?
Oh, Timothy Hibbs, you big steaming pillock. If you're wondering why Tim sounds different now, say hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
It's because Tim forgot to record his own audio on his computer.
Yeah.
He tried, listeners, to go, oh, there's some kind of technological mishap. Something must have crashed. Coleman, what do you reckon the chances of that are compared to Tim forgetting to press the big red button?
No. To be fair, I said something has gone wrong.
Yes.
I don't have a record.
Something has gone wrong.
Oh, my giddy aunt, something appears to have gone awry with my recording setup.
Although, in all fairness, if something had gone wrong, it had to have been going right for a certain amount of time, which it never actually commenced doing.
Timothy. I mean, last week, maybe. No.
Fortunately, Coleman is you know,
a legend.
Well-versed.
Coleman, legend. Hibbs, bell end.
I've been recording backups for months and they finally
and never had to use
them. They finally worked. I don't know. The Discord may sound rubbish, but we'll see.
You utter pillock.
It's okay. Anyway, those are the ways I previously say, those are the ways you can get in contact with us, such as these lovely people did. Haven't been putting the shout out for people getting in contact recently, but you can do so now. On Discord, Velvet Thunder, he wanted to recommend to us a game called Horus on Switch, which I have picked up. I just haven't got to yet. It's It's got references aimed squarely at British people aged around 30 to 40. So it looks like it's on all of our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Super tight platforming to mix, and has to be something really special. This is on the Switch, I believe. So I'm going to be picking that up. Yeah.
How much was it, roughly? Do you remember?
I think it was either 15 or 19.
Yeah, right about that, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely tempted.
Ed wants to know, with Tim enjoying Mario Kart Home Circuit, what other series would he like to see come to life in his living room, or a series that he'd like to see become a board game?
Prices on
good
Tim.
Question.
He's had 2 weeks to think about
this. I know, and I haven't.
I'd like to see Dark Souls come to life in your living room.
Dark
for
Souls
come for not recording.
No. Game,
the big dragon.
Like, most games have already become board games, so I guess I'd have to pick one that hasn't already, so I'll pick Ghost of Tsushima.
That's already a board game.
I missed
the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, go with that.
Good. You can also leave us reviews, like some lovely folks have done on either Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Podchaser, and Stitcher. I mean, anywhere that's available, really, but those are the ways that we can see said reviews. Mm-hmm, so, we have a couple this week from Billy445 in the US on iTunes. He says, BRB is a great show with funny accents that sometimes accidentally says something useful about video games.
Yeah, we can only apologise for
that.
We'll try and keep it to the funny accents, Bill.
And then we got another two, which one is from CastBox and the other one is from Stitcher, I believe.
Ooh.
Both from the same person, Io Jaros, who tried to give us three
work
reviews, but Apple Podcasts wasn't playing ball. So he said, he'd been listening to been listening for too many years. Definitely a great listen for anyone interested in gaming, but not bothered to be on the cutting edge by reading the IGNs and Kotakus of the world and want a good laugh along the way.
That's right. The blunt edge of video game news. Right here.
We are the blunt edge of news.
So this is me giving you a review late as part of the birthday request made a few episodes ago by Tim. Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday.
Yeah.
He also said,
thank you.
This is a 5 out of 2 podcast. Well worth a listen. Relevant gaming news. 5 out of 2 stars. He wrote an emoji and it didn't come through. Relevant gaming news you would want a bit late, along with rambling tangents, especially if Tim is on and his usual indirect description gland is working. Please watch.
Since Tim got a review for his birthday, I've had a birthday and I didn't get any reviews. I want a review for my birthday.
I think
now
you are swell. Love, Coleman.
Mate.
I think he wanted a podcast review as well, though, Colm.
What's a review? Yeah. I gave a podcast review and then I removed it when I was part of the podcast, so I didn't look like an idiot.
Oh, Dan, look at you. I think I've done a review for this podcast.
You can't review your own podcast.
I know,
so
I might
tacky
have done. I might have done. It's all about the SEO. yes. Yes.
Anyway, if you can give us reviews on any way, it really does help us in the rankings, apparently. So do that. I also got a comment on our YouTube channel, Big Red Barrel TV on YouTube.
Babe.
From Mark Rogerson. It was actually a suggestion. He recommended a podcast called The Gamer's Confessional, which I did go check out, episode 248.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny podcast. They're kind of like... Basically, it's three British gamers doing a podcast about
video
games.
They've stolen our idea.
Yeah, they're stealing our thing.
Yeah, weird, isn't it? But they've been going a while. I listened to episode 248. They are done by guys called Vimsy, Clarksy, and Pet. And as you might guess by those names, they are quite northern and have very different opinions to us, which is really good if you're looking for some change up in your podcasting reviews.
Hey, do you know what their favourite bit of the internet is? The Wide Web! Wide Web! Wait, no.
Coleman extends the hand of friendship and you
bad
slap them in the face with
that's
it.
That's so
what
bad.
I don't know.
I wanted to say I enjoyed the show and I subscribe and it's one of those things where I used to listen to a lot of independent podcasts, especially video game ones. And over the years, like, they've either stopped recording or I've lost interest in certain shows. And gone more towards your more mainstream shows, but they all basically say the same things because they're all heavy under NDAs and they have advertising and things to worry about. So it's good to find an indie podcast that you actually like. So there you go. That was the Gamer's Confessional.
I look forward to the forthcoming grudge match that we're now likely to have for me making a terrible joke about that.
If they do end up somehow hearing this and get offended, I've got family from Leeds, so I'm basically one of
my family's from Lincoln, which is kind of Midlands originally. My grandma was from Liverpool.
Yeah,
she was.
What?
Anyway,
let's get out of here.
I think we should. Bye.
All right, see you.
As Carmen says, make sure you check out the various corners of the internet for our stuff, bigredbarrel.com, and come say hello on the Twitter because we're super fun and nice. So next week's show, there will probably be some form of Xbox talk. Tim, are you getting an Xbox Series S next week?
Yeah, that'll be on the 10th, so... will I have it
that's
in time
Tuesday.
So I'll only have just had it in time for the show, but hopefully
it's all right,
initial
Tim.
Impressions.
But it's all right, because should I tell you why? Should I tell you why it's all right? Because I'm going to have Destiny 2 to talk about you lucky little scamp. Love it when I talk about Destiny.
Oh, no. Now we're on a video podcast. I can't get away with sleeping for the 20 minutes you'll be talking about.
Oh, well, you can.
That's okay, Dan, because you know what I've got to talk about next week.
What do you got to talk about next week?
I've got a VR game.
Yay! Right back at you, Dan. I might even play another VR game just to double up.
Well, no, if I'm playing the VR game, that means you got to play like Buster Groove or something, too. You've got to play a wrestling game.
I've got to play the wrestling game that
you've got to play Battlegrounds.
We ought to do a switcheroo. Yeah. Sorry. We ought to do a switcheroo for one thing. I make Tim play Destiny, I play a VR game, and Coleman forgets to play games.
Yeah,
which is usually what
games.
I do
I'm
and try
just very
and
busy.
It.
Oh, right, yeah. I see what you're doing. Let's go.
All right, bye then.
Do it properly.
All righty. So, thank you ever so much as always for listening. We always appreciate it. And all that's really left for us to do is for me to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
For a bit.
If you can still hear this.
And you forgot to record. You bell end.
Yeah.
I've been Coleman.
Yes, you have.
Never record my bell end, Dan. That's never a thing I've done.
Stop that.
That was not a direction I was going to take that. I think we should end
the
show
now.
I know
you could have gone there.
No, I can call you a bell end. It doesn't necessarily mean I want to hear details about your bell end.
You brought it up, Dan.
No. Don't go down that comedic route, young fella.
I'm
not going down anywhere.
All right, hang on. Coleman has an important statement.
I have a question. Yep. I'm going to regret this. Do you pat it to make sure it's recording?
Yeah, we're good.
Good.
Do you forget to turn it on?
Maybe.
I want to go. I really want to go.
Alrighty. So, thanks ever so much for tuning in, which is an anachronistic way of saying it. So, until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
Are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.